bro. They let a young player grow and become their own star.
They did.
And then they said, let's go get some of his buddies from college and put them around him. And you know, stop all the...
It's the new regime, right? Yeah. Leon Rose and
it's
all those guys.
Just smart basketball, man. Yep. Getting high-level role players. You went and got OG Anunoby, which is just... that was a big-time move. Then you go out, you trade all these future picks for Mikal Bridges. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but it looks good to me, man.
It really
like,
does.
Like, they... And it's about having one guy that you've groomed him to be a star, and you just got high level role players out there with him. Isaiah Hartenstein, high level role player. OG Anunoby, high level role player. Mikal Bridges might be the best role player in the NBA, and you're ready to roll. You can go against Boston, and you can say, okay, I got some guys.
I got two guys
that can
start with,
at least so. Get on y'all nerves, and mm-hmm. they can score on the other end too.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing what's the kid at Dallas that's about to get paid. He looks like one of the Lawsons. What's his name, man? The one that can jump. And now he's got
a jump. Derek Jones.
Yeah. He looks like one of the Lawsons. Go look at him and tell me.
Bro, Sammy keeping us on our toes. We got to, like, try to identify
Google stuff,
the player.
Right? Got to use Google apps to find out who you're talking about. Tall dude looks like the Lawsons.
I didn't realize Derek's about to get that money.
I kind of see where you're at.
He is a good role player.
He does. He looks like one of the – and that's not an insult. He literally looks like one of the Lawsons. I've been saying it forever.
Yeah, all the Lawsons, like, they just – you can just know.
Yeah,
like,
they're gangly. They have super long arms. They normally have, like, wider shoulders. Like,
it's always been very interesting. Like, half look just like dad.
And half look just like mom.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's amazing how that kind of broke down a little bit, you know? Like,
yeah. But, I think – I like what the Knicks are doing, man, for sure. And I think, like I said on Twitter the other day, like, the league is good when the Knicks are good, man. And I know
Agreed.
It's been a while since we've said that, but the league is just good when the Knicks are good. Like, the NFL is good when the Cowboys are good, when the Bears are good, when the Raiders are good, 49ers are good. When all those OG teams are good, man, the league is just better. Now, I hate that they make teams good. Like, they just try to make you like the Lakers. Like, that stuff gets on my nerves. But, yeah, the league is good when teams like Boston, New York, when those teams are good, it's good.
No doubt. He is Anthony Staines. Catch him on the Anthony Staines Show on Bluff City Media. Join us every single Friday here on the show. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
I'm really like that, bro. I'm really like that.
We're bringing the energy in the second hour.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll bring it to your dough, too, bro. Facts.
With a slap of the face, if need be.
Man, I wish I could have gotten in front of Joe last night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wake up! Anyway, Ed Scott going to be introduced here momentarily at the Lori Walton basketball facility as the new athletic director for the University of Memphis. And I'll be interested to see, you know, exactly and specifically what he has to say. As we talked about a little earlier this week, we like the hire, the idea of the hire. You know, Ed is accomplished. Ed has been an AD before. Dr. Scott has been an AD before. Because when you get the doctorate, you know, you have to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got the PhD. None of the other candidates had that, as Jeff pointed out.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's a, you earn that, you know.
The doctor.
Saying? Have you ever thought about getting...
In Hargrave...
He may be, but
now we did apply with Dr. Rudd, didn't it? Every time he came
sure
on, you
did.
Made
Dr.
sure
Rudd.
You called him for sure, Dr. Rudd.
That's right. That was the respect I had. I don't know if Bill Hargrave is a doctor. He might be. You know, if you get a doctorate, I'm sure you want to be called doctor, though.
But just don't get stuck on this. But yes.
But it does in his bio. It does not say doctor.
Okay.
Bill Hargrave. Anyway, Ed Scott's going to be introduced.
Dr.
He's an
Scott.
AD. At Morgan State, and was the deputy AD at Virginia. And so this will be our first time really hearing from him in terms of, you know, what he thinks about Memphis football, what he thinks about Memphis basketball, what he thinks both programs need, what he makes of their situations. All of that's going to come, you know, I mean, Calkins is there, right? So mm-hmm. I know he'll ask that. I'm glad he'll ask that because, you know, we don't have a Margiotta replacement at this time in terms of, you know, the hard-hitting columnist.
Oh, it's true. I didn't think about that.
You know, we just have Jeff right now who doesn't even write about sports. But I know he'll ask the questions that need to be asked, no doubt about that. And so I'll be interested to hear Dr. Scott's answers. You know, again, I think he's got a good situation. It's not perfect, you know. And I would say, like, you know, as good as Memphis football looks, if they don't go to the AAC championship game and win the conference, I mean, the shine comes off of that, too, now.
It's an absolute disappointment.
I mean, we got to be honest about it. So, but yeah, I'll be interested to see. Like, it's not just about, oh, I'm excited and, you know, this is great. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're moving up the corporate ladder, which is great for Ed Scott, but, you know, what does Memphis need? And you know, about your fundraising and about, you know, what is your because when you take a job, like, you have, like, a roadmap, right? What is your roadmap for the University of Memphis look like? And that's what I will be curious to hear today from him, you know, what his vision for the programs are. I know you are as well, because
I mean, you
didn't even sleep last night.
You've said that for a couple of days now, so I don't need to add anything to that side of it. Well, I'm just as excited to hear what he's got to say about the program. I'll say this. He has to do a good job for another reason, and it's a reason I'm pointing out with Jeff. I know we've touched on this. We've said it's awesome, frankly, that Memphis has got its first black athletic director. It's historic, but there's a pressure on Ed Scott that I'm not sure everybody understands that's there. Certainly black folks do. Black folks that are working in jobs where there are not, you know, other black folks in them, or you look around and most of the floor or your office is white. There is a pressure to succeed. John's reading from a CBS Sports article just a couple of years ago. There were 11 black FBS athletic directors, 15% of Division I. And in terms of whether it's coaching or ADs, there just aren't a lot of them. And so best believe that Ed Scott's going to feel a pressure to be great in this job, not just for himself or for Memphis, which he's obviously got to be if he wants to keep, as you say, climbing the ladder, but also for the next black AD and the next opportunity where that might come up. If Ed Scott's a failure, right, in a world where there are very few black ADs, well, that gives the next president – right, an excuse. I'll put it that way, to say, you know what, I'm just going to stick with what I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying here? And so there is a pressure on him to succeed that obviously he's going to feel internally, because, again, you're talking about opening the eyes, opening the minds of presidents, athletic directors that maybe wouldn't have gone this route, but they see a successful black athletic director, one of few, and they say, you know what, there's a whole pool of candidates we haven't interviewed that we haven't considered because of it. And so there's a pressure on Ed, both, you know, professionally for himself and everything else, but also for the next ones, bro. I mean, that's what happens, and it's what's always happened when you're among the first, when you are the first. There's a pressure on you to keep that door open, and the only way you keep it open is by thriving, by succeeding, by excelling. And so there's that part of it, too, that he's bringing to the table. It's a pressure he probably shouldn't face.
Right.
But one that is ultimately the reality, as you have, again, so many worlds that are still mostly white, and whatever minority candidate it is coming into this world, there's a pressure on them to succeed. Again, the best way I can put it, so those doors remain open.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not something that, you know, I could necessarily speak to. But
it's something you can understand. No one expects you to speak to that. I mean, I guess people expect me to speak to it,
right,
as the black guy at 92.9. But that point, if we can understand that, just sort of not because John, you know the deal. There's a great many of us that will just push back at the front and say, well, he got it because he was black, and don't want to even have the conversation or hear how qualified he is or, you know, any of that. If you can understand that there is, oh, wow, maybe there is extra pressure on him just because there are so few of them, and obviously you want more of them, but you can't have more of them if the guys that do get the men and women who get the opportunities aren't great in them. Again, how do you convince the next president to do what Memphis did if Ed Scott's not great at what he's doing?
Yeah. While I have you here, if you're just willing to speak on issues, black jobs, can you tell me what those are?
Man, I was trying to, it's all over social media, black jobs. Clearly the Memphis athletic director job now, thankfully, is a black job, Trump would say.
Yeah, he would say that.
I think clearly he was talking about a different set of jobs when he was talking about the...
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have clarification.
I'm so disappointed because there was such an opportunity to hammer the stuff that was coming out of, you know, of Trump's mouth, and he couldn't. Biden could not. But yes, we got black jobs last night that we learned from the former president, you know, that are out there for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's a group of select jobs that are for the blacks.
Right. I was just trying to figure out.
And we had that spelled out for us, kind of like yesterday. I'm not going through that list. Trump knows what's on that list.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I figured you'd go there at some point.
No, I just wanted to know if you could. It was just something I was wondering. I found myself curious about last night. You know, and
they're taking black jobs.
Right.
I think
Luka and Jokic.
I don't have the exact quote, but it was along those lines.
Is that what we're talking about? Like Luka?
No, well, I don't think it's Luka, bro.
Okay. That would be a black job.
Mm-hmm.
NBA player would be a black job.
You think
that the immigrants are taking?
That's what I'm saying. It kind of got real fast. It wasn't funny anymore. Like the fact that we are here as a country. That's what I'm saying. Like there's
no. I mean,
of course there are parts that we can laugh at. You
right.
Know
no, I agree.
No, I understand. There's a part of this too. You know, people are saying, "Well, y'all always talk about Penny Hardaway." I have to, what are you talking about?
When that's time to talk about
and
something else.
And yesterday, I think we were almost doing it in a joking manner, but they almost, it was like, "Oh, there's more." Yesterday was funny for a little while. Then it was sad to me.
Yeah, like,
on several fronts.
I kind of felt like that Hannibal Buress meme where you hear that, Hereditary music, like those horns in the back, and he's just like looking at his hand, and he's like, existential. That's when the thing ended, and it's like, okay, here's the 2-minute drill for Biden, right? And we had a couple false starts there. I just looked at, and then of course Trump comes on, and I can't tell you what the hell he was talking about either. You're just looking at your hands. You're like,
but he was alive.
He was alive. That's right. And it's performative theater. I mean, in the end, so I don't think people. Here's the bottom line. It was a disastrous night for Joe Biden. As like anybody watching would come away thinking that, right? Like there's just no. Yeah, Trump lied and all the stuff he did, and but he's been doing that since he ran for president in 2016. That's him. People are used to it. And he to juxtapose him next to Joe, who by the way he walked out, and then the whole stumbling over his words, and we beat COVID and we beat Medicaid, and then Trump says, "Yeah, you beat it to death. You beat Medicaid to death." Like what? It was rough, dude. And I get why the Democrats are in a deep panic because they're like.
Well, we just had an incident. I can't remember how recently it was where he was on stage, I guess, fundraiser. You saw that where Barack had to kind of guide him off. He got stuck.
Right.
Joe kind of got stuck.
Yeah.
Looking at the crowd. And so, but back to the point, no, that's not just to say how sad that is, but that's why last night was so important. You come back and everybody's trying to see, okay. And then very early on,
exactly.
It's like, oh my gosh.
It wasn't this bad
like
in 2020.
This just started. What are you talking about? You compare the two set side by side, it's a different Joe Biden.
Yep. I mean, he is
completely.
4 years older. I mean,
yeah, in terms of what he was able to do in terms of debate and everything else.
Yeah. So.
So that's why I say, I mean, what you got to ask yourself, what are we doing to the man here?
Well, exactly.
Forget ourselves as a country and trying to elect our next leader.
Yes.
You putting a man that doesn't look like he can handle it
and agree,
back in there for another 4 years.
And Biden, look, Biden.
It might be in the twilight.
People were not super fired up about voting for him in 2020, but he had COVID, right? He had this event that was not being handled very well. To sort of ride in and say, we're going to change all of this, right? We're going to change everything, and it's going to be a different, he doesn't have that event right now that he can, it's just like, they were asking Trump, affordable health care, or child care. What do you think about affordable child care? And that man said, border!
I don't think he ever got to child care.
No.
And was asked again directly, never got, and that became a lot of last night, too. Was just,
yes.
Hold on for a second. Let me hit this.
Exactly.
What I was
There is some mastery to it because he was asked about, would you?
Well, he was actually trained to do that. They talked about.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He was like
to deflect and then get to his point.
He said, like they asked him, about Israel and Gaza and like what he would do with if he were president. And he goes, well, I'd have to see. And then he gets right back to Biden. He's like, but let me just say this for a second.
But then Joe would be, well, that's a bunch of malarkey. It's the most malarkey I've ever heard, and then can't remember the lies. That he's got a hit.
Exactly. It was
or certainly couldn't do it.
No,
in a
Biden kept doing
manner.
His main thing was the idea that.
Mm-hmm. And he did that sermon, repeated that sermon.
Yeah. He was just like, you're attacking Trump as opposed to attacking like the things he's saying, that was, I think, the mark that was missed. Like, you could have just swatted all of it down, but he's just not, unfortunately, lucid enough. I mean, this is about, if you're the Democrats, you're talking about practicality. Of winning and getting to, the votes, and what is it, 270, I don't think anybody changed their minds about who they're voting for, but I do think you weaken people's resolve, right, if they were voting Democrat this year or voting for Joe Biden. I think you weakened their resolve. It's like, how can I do that when that is that they're now having that question, right? They're now having. I mean, that's just an American thing. We were all watching this last night.
They're saying they're more scheduled or one more scheduled at least, but they're not may not do it now. Like that's and Biden wanted this. That was the other part. Yes. He's the one that wanted yes. this.
Well, people are theorizing that again. They're theorizing that he was offered up as a sacrificial lamb by the Dems because they knew what he would do out there. Now I don't know if I believe that.
No, because again we've been with and I believe it. Like Joe's been, I'm going to go do this for the country. Joe's been dead set on not stepping down, you know, as opposed to being set up
here, right?
You know, by his own people.
Right. Real quick, Jeff did just tweet. Press conference remarks don't mean all that much, but Ed Scott just delivered the best I've heard from a Memphis coach or AD since I arrived in 96. So that was interesting from Jeff. I don't know exactly. I haven't seen a bunch.
I'm sorry. Give that to us again. I'm sorry.
Jeff said the following. After last night, I will no longer be voting for Biden. No, I'm just kidding. He said, press conferences remarks don't mean all that much, but Ed Scott just delivered the best I've heard from a Memphis coach or AD since I arrived in 1996.
It was like Obama.
What was his thing? Yes, we can?
Yeah. He wasn't. I think Mitt got him, too, in one debate where he wasn't so good. But let's be real. My man was an orator.
Yeah. I'm not sure. You know,
and we are mixing topics here, but.
Yeah.
Y'all know how we do.
No, we want to make sure we hit everything. We want to make sure we hit all the topics today on the show. And only can this show
kind of weave the
flawlessly.
Way.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's always
flawless. We're going to go flawlessly.
You're feeling good today.
Weave through multiple issues. And do so, by the way, fairly and balanced. That was not a partisan analysis of the debate last night, right? That was a very down-the-middle view of what took place last night, you know, and so one part of that is going to feel incredible about how the night went because like now everybody like sees what Joe looks like, and the other is like, oh my God, we feel like we can win, but we can't do it with him.
How about the one time my 10-year-old son sat down to watch it, the words that came up were porn star,
crazy,
from the freaking presidents,
crazy,
and it did both of them. One accusing and the other saying no.
You have the morals of an alley cat.
Right when Chris sat down, the only time he sat down.
Yeah, and
then, yeah, it's two, the presidential candidates up there talking about porn star.
I mean that you got it.
How
like,
crazy is that?
Our friend from Australia.
Just that scene.
Rachel Phillips tweeted about it, and she was. Like,
I didn't know that.
I can't. I mean, is this like normal?
Like normal life, and she's coming from Australia. It's a fair question.
Yeah, and yes, it is now. It is now. It used to not be, but it is now. It's hard to imagine, like, there was a time in politics where, like, it wasn't like this, you know, but it used to not be like this. There was a great video, God rest his soul, of John McCain on a campaign, right? This was in 2000, I think, 2008. Isn't that who Obama ran against? Yeah. So it was 2008, and he was at a campaign. And somebody in the crowd said something about Barack Obama, like being a Muslim or
I think I remember
something
that.
Like that, right? I don't remember exactly what the implication was.
I see where you're
and
going.
John McCain took the mic back, right? He said, "No, no, 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 no. That is a good, decent American man."
Yeah, I remember that.
We're not going to do that today. He's my opponent. I want to beat him, but we're not going to do that today. John McCain, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Classy man. I mean, that used to really be, you know, how politics was not that long ago. And now it's just like the gloves come off. It's nasty now. Everybody, you know, Congress people. I mean, what was that woman in the...
devolved.
The woman in the chamber said, your eyelashes are the reason why you can't read. And then she said, and then she responded, this was Mallory Green, MTG. And then the woman responded by saying that... you know, she was asking the floor, what would you guys do if I said this bad built butch blonde beach body? Like, I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, it's like, wow, bro. Like, it's just a new era, you know, in politics.
Has been for a while.
The gloves just come off, bro. And I'm sorry that CJ has to grow up in an America, you know, where that's the case.
Yeah, he got up and left. He said, this stuff's beneath me. You know, talking about porn stars.
Right. Yeah. Golf handicaps.
Yeah, they did get into that too.
That was the most.
That was the only light moment.
But it was really not.
But then it wasn't light.
It was depressing.
Like, why are we talking about golf?
I mean, it was like, I'll explain to carry your own bag.
Because we couldn't answer actual questions.
And Trump said, you don't have a 6 handicap. I've seen your swing. Like, that's just, it was like, this is
You're going to carry the bag.
This is not real.
Beat you if we carry bags.
That is the Joe Biden I know and love, isn't it? That's him, man.
You want to arm wrestle.
We beat COVID. I mean, Medicaid. I mean, Russia. Yeah. It was, that's got remarks going better, it sounds like, than Joe's last night, according to Jeff.
And I thought Anderson got a little too aggressive with our vice president afterwards. I don't know if you saw that.
Interesting. I did watch that.
Talk about some, you know.
He was very, very pointed.
I cannot see him getting that. I told my wife he would not have done that with any other vice president.
Was he doing that because he was trying to pull it out of Kamala that, you know,
That he was
trying to get out of her that that she was going to ask Biden to step down or something. That's kind of how it felt.
Yeah, it was.
And
almost,
he wasn't going to take.
It
no
was
for
almost
an
like he, like his like he had talked to his CNN bosses and they're like, you got to get out of her. And so he just, even when she said, look, this is the way I'm going to answer this question, he went back 2, 3, 4 times, and I want to tell you 5, 6 times. It was just unusual.
It was really weird.
It almost bullying to a point. And
right.
Again, you have to ask, would he have done that with any other vice president? Would he have done it with Pence? Would he have, you know, I had to ask myself that question. Gotten that pushy with, again, the sitting vice president.
And that's the network, by the way, that everybody says it's like, you know, left-leaning or in the pockets of the Dems.
Well, they couldn't spin anything yesterday because the performance was so bad. I guess they wanted to look like they were doubling down.
One of them tried. And all you can say really is, let's just wait a week and see what the voters say. You know what I mean? But, like, again, as a voter, right?
Well, who's your expert that told us to do that? But that's after he started the
John
whole
King.
Thing off. King just said, let's wait and see what the.
Right.
But that's after he set us on DEFCON 1 with the Democrats are going nuts.
John King is the GOAT, bro.
He's something, though.
And unfortunately, he doesn't post on Twitter anymore. But.
Well, in the way that he's able to break it down, if that's what you mean. If you mean he's good at his job?
No, I love him. I loved him during 2020. I love him.
No, he's good. He's good.
I mean, and he presents it in a
but
very
intelligent
way. But
you can't tell us to calm down and wait on the, you know, let's see what the actual polls are looking like after you've come back immediately and they kicked it to you and you said, man, all hell's breaking loose in the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, he's reacting to the news that the text that he's getting.
Oh, absolutely, I get that. But I'm saying he then tells us to calm down, bro. You're the ones that.
He was alarmist.
Your news
he
that you got alarmist. Is what set us off.
He was very alarmist. Again, I've never heard a response like that after
we've never really had it that bad.
Yeah,
it kind of called.
People said Obama's first debate was bad. I mean, obviously it might have been bad, but it wasn't.
Not in a sense where you're losing train of thought.
That's where
counterpunch and punch, and you've lost a couple on.
Yes,
mid-gotcha or whatever. But this
exactly.
Is not, yeah,
it was less about his talking points. His talking points were fine. It was about his.
That's what Kamala kept trying to get past that and say focus on the substance of what he was saying.
Yeah,
you did that, but you could not.
Right.
Because of how it was delivered, unfortunately.
Yeah, listen, it's a and you hear people talk about it that his resolve and his stubbornness are the reason why he's been such a successful politician in his life, and it seems like he's going to continue to be that and stay in the seat. But
somebody's mentioned that he stutters. And it should be mentioned.
He does have gaffes, that was different.
But he got over a stuttering issue, right? And then last night, maybe some of it's the old stuttering issue, but clearly, you had the Democratic Party coming out midway through it. All you guys know he's got a cold, trying to explain what was going on out there. And so whether it was a relapse back to stuttering days or a guy that was, losing train, whatever it was, it clearly wasn't, it wasn't just a cold.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Right. So, I'm going to read a little bit from Jonah Dillon in terms of Ed Scott's quotes that there haven't been a ton. Obviously, there is audio, but I can't get into it live like this. You don't get this chance too often in your lifetime to have your dream come true. I love the momentum of this university. I love where the athletic department is. I've been told I'm your first black athletic director. I'm an athletic director for the black folks, the white folks, and everyone in between. So he's the people's athletic director.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? The people's champ. Ed Scott says he's talked with Penny and Ryan.
Says he can't wait for Memphis, Virginia this season. Says he looks forward to working with Jeff Crane. So maybe Jeff Crane staying on.
I mean, I would think that that'd be useful with how instrumental he's been in the renovations.
Yeah.
Fundraising and everything else. If, you can, if you can keep him, why wouldn't you?
He says, we're going to be uniquely Memphis. We don't want to be anyone else. This is a destination for me.
So, no, you like all that.
You like all that? You seem like you just don't buy it, though, man. You seem like you just want it to be, you want him to prove it.
No, it is good, especially if we're comparing this to last night when you can hear, you know, your leader steps up there and gives you a vision that you like and, you know what I'm saying, paints a pretty picture because we're losing that in some ways.
I'll be interested to see if Jeff Crane ultimately does stay.
I'm kind of interested in his duties as a special assistant to the football coach, like what that entailed.
Yes.
Again, not that it's some critical point here, the man's been hired, but what that included, you know, when it comes to whatever, you know, sort of impact, influence he had on that Virginia football program.
Yeah. Anyway, it's got introduced at the University of Memphis, and he's got to get to that fundraising immediately.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
City. Fireworks, they already going off in my neighborhood, Jason. Come on, dog. It's a little early.
But
I guess not. I guess it's never too early. It's never too early to get over to Boom City to load up on your fireworks. Get out of the heat. Get in the AC. Largest selection of fireworks in stock at Boom City Fireworks. 3rd Street South, Get Well at State Line Road. Get on Facebook. Check them out. Boom City Fireworks. They got power candles. Sparklers, Roman candles, firecrackers, poppers, cakes, artillery shells, and more. Huge selection in stock today. Get over there to Boom City Fireworks. Are you going to be bringing fireworks to my party?
No. I don't deal in them.
Okay.
Never wanted to.
Gotcha.
Not that I haven't.
Bag up, Terry.
But I'm like, I'd rather watch.
Have you made the arrangements for transportation my party?
No. And it's clear I will need it now.
Well, I just can't believe
Faith's not changing her plans.
I just can't believe you're a 47-year-old man that don't even have a car.
In fact, I've been invited, you know, to go with them, and so I'm torn.
Oh.
I'm torn because you asked me first.
Oh, okay.
But then I have my family saying, "Dad, husband, will you come with us?"
What were you?
So, well, I got my coworker and my family. What should I choose?
Oh, that's
this is a special. It's not just coworker. It's coworker. Friends.
I was about to say,
believe me, I was
because you
there.
Really diminished my role there.
Want to be clear,
your...
because again, in the when you compare it to family, it does kind of pale in comparison in a way. Though this is a special day, though, for this coworker and friend, best friend. I would go as far as
that
makes you feel any better.
Yeah, because again, I used to be brother, and I just got switched to coworker for the sake of that argument.
You understand it's a tough choice.
It is a tough choice, man. I get that. If you can't make it, man, you need to say it right now.
And you know the deal. It's KJ down there that they're going to see.
Oh, well, then that's different.
It's going to be a family thing.
Then you should go to that.
Faith's son.
Yeah, you have my permission.
And my son as well. It's really a chance.
Yeah, you should go to that, bro. Let you off.
And who's going to be at your drum? Roser, Bennett, who I love, by the way. I do want to see Bennett. That would be the chance for me to see Bennett again.
I invited Ron Tillery. We'll see if he shows up.
Use a lie. The devil is a lie.
We'll see
and yet in this instance, it doesn't look like you're the devil.
That's right. That's right. So he can come. But no, I don't know exactly.
Do we have any further updates on that, by the way?
Nothing to report.
All right.
Literally nothing. I mean, just waiting on any kind of correspondence, any kind of denial, kind of anything.
Not to sidetrack. You don't want to do that there because we got plenty more to talk. We have not discussed David Jones getting a two-way deal.
That's interesting. So... he got it.
Philly.
David Jones got a two-way after a lot of debate and...
a lot of doubt.
A lot of doubt.
Let's
absolutely.
Be real.
He didn't get drafted. We knew he wouldn't get drafted. But I thought maybe there was a chance that somebody would take a flyer on him in the second round, like late second.
I mean, he had a lot of workouts.
Right. So I thought there was a chance maybe. But he pretty immediately got a two-way contract with the Philadelphia 76ers, which pays $559
next season. So he'll make $559,000 on the two-way, which is half the veteran minimum, which is a lot, obviously, but is still significantly less than what we have heard he was offered to return to Memphis. Now, there's a little bit to, you know, to say, right, about that. One, the NIL is still a relatively lawless, you know, deal, right? I mean, you've heard, and it hasn't happened at Memphis, but you've heard of people around the country, like, not getting paid.
Not getting
and,
their money.
Yeah, like,
right.
Again, Memphis's NIL, in terms of that, I've heard is very good, but you just never know. What if in the middle of the year he wants to leave? What if in the middle of the year, you know, you just don't know. So there's that to consider. You're also, like, playing for an NBA team now. You're there. You're playing for an NBA team. You're not going on a Tuesday night to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You might be going on a Tuesday night to Miami, conceivably, right? So there's a difference. You get to go on the private jet. You get to live the NBA life. You get to develop right there. And, yes, you're making less money, I guess.
Well, and some G League life, too.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to every NBA.
No, that's true. There will be
some G League towns,
but
too.
I'm just saying conceivably.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And that's what you talk yourself into.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That. So I think that's the, you know, that would be the benefit of it, is that you're directly in under an NBA team now, and you don't have to go to class. You don't have to worry about no BS.
Your pro career has started.
Right.
You're pro. You tell yourself that.
And so, you know, if you felt like next year be a little bit more competitive because the draft might be a little bit better, more competitive for two ways and things like that, then, yeah, I think it makes sense. It's hard to be too critical because he got the deal, right? He probably left some money on the table, but he got the two-way deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, he probably wound up making, ultimately, you know, the right decision.
I don't know. I mean, that two-way can get pulled. You know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be sitting on that thing the whole time. I'm with you. It validates his decision, certainly, in a way. And he clearly had interest. I counted. It looks like he had at least 8 workouts with NBA teams. So the interest that he believed and hoped would be there was certainly there for him. Again, I would tell you, John, though, it's still such a, you know, an uphill battle for him. Could probably phrase it a bunch of different other ways, but you get what I'm saying in terms of a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", and is a shooting guard. Can't really handle the ball. And so, listen, he is fortunate. And I'm happy for him that he got this two-way deal because, frankly, I think you do. You risk running the – yeah, you talk about what the mess that's on social media. You don't get any deal. How does it look then? I mean, what are folks saying about you then? You know what they're saying about you. They're saying damn fool. So I'm happy that he got it. Sticking in this NBA just because he can shoot? Mm-mm. Because whether it's defense, whether it's ball handling, particularly at his size, those are areas where he's a minus. And so it's going to still be a hard road. And again, you could have put that hard road off for a year, because it's probably going to be harder again next year in a draft that's better. You can put that off for a year while making a significant amount of NIL,
right,
and being the big man on campus. So,
right.
You're right. You can't be as critical or too critical of his decision. And in the end, we're just happy for the young man. Not going to be rooting against him, but I could still say you made the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
Could still say that.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
Just in the sense of, from a business standpoint, you didn't make the wrong decision from your heart, but from money. You know, if it was anywhere near what it sounded like, you know, up around $1 million or whatever, and you get that now, that's guaranteed. That's coming in. How long is he definitely going to be making this? What is it, 550 something?
I mean, well, 1 year, right?
For as useful as you are.
Yeah, I assume 1 year is what he'd get, and then you know, you'd have to obviously prove it. You'd have to obviously prove that you can make it, that you can cut it, that you can hack it. But I mean, again, it would have been devastating had he not gotten two-way. I mean, it would have been an absolute.
Yeah. I mean, that's the news. He got it. He did.
I don't care how many Memphis fans try to tell me that this dude just wanted to go travel the world. If he didn't get the two-way, then it was all for naught. It was a ridiculously stupid decision if he didn't get the two-way. They must have felt pretty good about his chances of getting a two-way. They must have had some sort of understanding, even, because that's a huge risk to leave that kind of money on the table. So I think they had some kind of commitment. They were doing all those private workouts, as you know. So, yeah, I think, you know, look, for Memphis, on the, like, they haven't replaced David Jones. So it stinks for them in that standpoint. But for David Jones, I think there's a world where he comes out of this, like, he feels good about the decision. For Memphis, you know, they are in a tough spot because they, and I wrote about this today at the Daily Memphian, Kaluma committed to Texas yesterday. And
honestly, you break down the Kaluma stuff, and I'm not just saying this because he didn't commit to Memphis. I did some digging into him as a player. Did you know that Arthur Kaluma was the only player 6'7 or taller who had a usage rate of at least 23%, a sub 50% effective field goal percentage, a 20% or worse turnover rate, and a negative assist turnover ratio?
Wow.
He's the only player in America who had numbers that bad with usage that high, right?
That tall.
Yeah, with that big, exactly. So his scoring average of 14, whatever, might have been good, but it took a lot of work to get there. And let's not forget, Kansas State did not make the tournament last year. He was the best player on a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament, and he had a high asking price. So is that really the guy that you want to bring in? I think that was a shrewd decision by Memphis and Penny Hardaway to pass on Arthur Kaluma. This is maybe something he would not have done in the past.
Interesting.
You know, where he would just take the talent and try to figure it out. Tigers also reached out to remember our man Keelan Boone from UNLV, but Kruger of UNLV said yesterday that his understanding is still that he does not have any eligibility left. Because he's saying that they made decisions about their roster based on them not thinking Keelan yet.
Eligible.
So he said that I have not heard anything that would change that view. So, you know, Keelan Boone, you know, it's hard to know if he'll, you know, get a waiver or whatever the case may be with that new rule. And honestly, like, anybody that would need a waiver next season, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, the guard from Cal State Northridge, Deshaun Allen Eakins, you know, like, I don't know, bro. Like, if you're going to be counting on guys to get waivers and stuff, I think you're going to be disappointed. So I think I don't think Penny's done adding to his roster because, you know, you have the Baraka Okoji injury as well. So you probably have to add a couple, you know, one or two guys more. But I don't think he's going to bring in anybody at this point who will be a significant contributor next season. He has done it before. He's done late work before. But I just think what he's got is what he's got for the most part.
Oh, I mean, I could make a case where the fewer options, the better for Penny Hardaway based on what we've seen. It's a case. And we've seen where you've overloaded it with talent and with guys who come in expecting to be the man and there's no chemistry. And so, and when you've had fewer options, I'd go back to 2 years ago when it's Kendrick, DeAndre, and really the rest of the role guys, but it's not a deal where you're trying to make the third and the fourth and the fifth guy the lead guy, then that has a tendency to work out well. So, maybe it could be blessing in disguise. All that said, clearly they felt like after they didn't get David Jones, they needed more. And so, you know, the idea that you're not getting it, and you're just going to roll with what you've got, I mean, it does feel like a little bit of a setback here. Because clearly the plan was to keep David. And so while it might work out, you know, still work out well, I would have rather had a replacement.
Right.
Considering how, you know, they seem to be dead set on getting one.
Yeah, so.
And I'd like to think they got enough. Maybe they do. You know, you got a starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have that.
Interior-wise, front court-wise, you look pretty good. But there's just that wing spot is just a little bit shaky.
Right.
A little bit shaky on the wing.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I think.
Remember, he was talking about Jourdain moving. Yeah, I don't feel great about Jourdain on the wing.
Exactly.
I consider him one of your bigs. And so without David there, it's a little sketchier on the wing.
Yes. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And, you know, is it a top five that is good enough to win the AAC? Probably. I mean, UAB brought back a lot too, so I don't know that they would be
Gaines and the big kid,
right?
Those are the two.
Yeah, Luxembourg.
Yeah,
who you wanted really?
But is there anybody else?
I don't know.
Did he really add? I mean, I know they were. That's what I'm saying. They were competitive with just those two as the main guys.
Yeah.
But if he added anything out of the portal, then it starts to maybe get close. You know,
I think
I'd still lean towards Memphis.
They added. I'm going to pull it up.
If they got anything good out of there, and I'm sure Andy wasn't just sitting on his hands.
Greg Gordon. From Iona, who's a four-star.
Not as familiar with his game, but if he was a four-star, that's certainly a starting point.
I don't know what he did last year. Gotcha. I don't know if he played or not. Yeah. But
we'll find out more this preseason, obviously. But as we dig in right now, I'm football brain, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
in terms
all
of breaking down the other AAC rosters. Uh-huh. That's football season coming up. But
yeah, Greg Gordon from Iona, he averaged 16-7 last year.
Is there anybody else we're leaving out? In the AAC basketball-wise, in terms of teams, it'll be decent. I've stopped.
I mean, USF again?
I've stopped worrying about, hopefully. I've stopped believing in Ron Hunter, I'll be honest with you, because he can't beat anybody but Memphis and Penny.
FAU's a...
loses to everybody else. FAU going to fall off.
USF was gutted by the portal, so...
You did mention that.
Yeah. They probably will have a hard time. They lost Chris Youngblood. They lost Selton Miguel. They lost Kaysen Pryor.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. They lost everything. Selton Miguel went to Maryland.
So, yeah, it's you and UAB.
Again. Yep. I'm trying to think, like, is there, you know, Temple, I don't think they have anything. I mean, aren't they getting sanctions for throwing games?
I don't know. That whole thing looked shady last year, including the coach.
Yeah. Some of us were smart enough to bet on it and win on it. You know, others stood on the sidelines and didn't take advantage of the greatest scandal in college sports since Headache Smith.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do? What can you do? But, yeah, I mean, I think Memphis will probably be if I had to guess, it'd be a co-favorite situation again. They were co-favorites, was it last year with FAU? Or maybe it was the year before that. I can't remember. But I think they'll be co-favorites with UAB.
Never won the regular season title. Is that true?
Correct, yeah. They won the regular. They won the tournament 2 years ago.
How about that? I put it back in your face.
But
giving you penny accomplishments.
Yes, yes. But they have never won the regular season, so it's definitely time.
It's time.
It's time for the program to do
it. Football. I mean, when is it related to the American? You need to be champion both.
I mean, you got to be right because you're not like the.
Well, you're supposed to be best resourced of any group of five school. First of all,
I mean that's the problem with Memphis, right? Is that we are here and we know what they could be and the potential of what they could be. But the nation doesn't see them as the best of the Power Five or non-Power Five because they haven't been. They haven't been the best of the non-Power Five, certainly in basketball, and they haven't been that in football since Mike Norvell was here. So that's the issue, is that, like, yeah, the potential exists for them to be that, but they actually haven't gone out there and done it on the field or on the court. If they had been doing that, I think there was a chance, you know, that Memphis would be more top of mind in terms of these realignment discussions, but... You know,
well, it's a new potential in football now with the NIL.
It is.
With the FedEx deal, and you see that literally borne out in Antoine Hill and your ability to get him.
And then they got another kid yesterday.
Up until now, we hadn't seized it. Yeah. Who was the kid they got yesterday?
They got a running back, a 2025 running back, who I think also was a teammate of Antoine Hill.
Love it.
I mean, Antoine Hill's teammates, bro. Amir Thomas. Oh, he's a preferred walk-on. Okay, but...
Either way, I'll take anybody that Antoine Hill believes good enough to come here.
Yeah. And now, of course, they're waiting on P. Groovy.
That's the lineman.
And he's announcing on my birthday.
I don't know his nickname. And so I know about Groovy Fries at Sonic.
That's right.
I don't know P. Groovy yet.
You don't know about no P. Groovy, bro? P. Groovy? Yeah, P. Groovy's announcing on the 4th. So
interesting.
It seems like that's Memphis all day. That's what that feels like.
It's exciting.
Yeah, man. I mean, Silverfield loading up in the trenches. He's got the QB.
How many games you go to last year? 2, 3? I know it was a couple, wasn't it?
Went to Boise State.
Yeah, and you talked about that one.
I went to Tulane.
I went to SMU.
I go to Memphis football games as a fan.
Me too. I think it makes it better. Number one, you weren't missing anything on that press box anyway.
Right.
Going as media. It's more fun to go as a fan. I took old dad and a couple generations of Smiths out there last year.
So I went to...
praying we would beat SMU.
I went to Boise State. I went to Tulane.
I thought I remember you doing 2 or 3. I'm going to be out there this year.
I did too.
More than just for the big conference games.
I might mess around and get season tickets on your ass. I got stuff to do now. I got to entertain these damn kids, you know what I'm saying? So I might mess around. And pop up on you with them season ticks. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Oh, I went to Navy as well. Went to 3.
Oh, it was 3.
Went to 3.
You know who'd love that? Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
Your season tickets.
Who said diamonds do one of two things? Pressure does one of two things.
We know that.
Bust pipes or make diamonds. But hold on, he added something. He added an addendum.
I've never heard a different one. I've heard those two options off pressure. Yeah, I've never heard this new one. So he school said, me, Dr. Scott.
He said, I like jewelry. You like that?
I think we got a freaking Barack Obama over there leading the Memphis Athletic Department is what it feels like to me. A true orator.
You might have him. You might have him, bro. Yes, we can. That's the new Memphis motto.
And I want to go shake his hand.
Go shake his hand. Look him in the eye.
Jeffston already did it.
You're like that guy in the...
probably hugged.
You're like that guy in the viral airplane video where he's like going at it with the pastor. He's like, oh, I want to shake his hand. He's like aggressively like trying to...
I've not seen that, no.
Oh,
is that some TikTok?
It probably.
China.
Just that brain rot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I need you to get here with me. Because I don't want to be sitting here making references. It's only going to get worse as you continue to age. I don't want to keep making references that you don't understand.
This ain't Biden over here, bro.
Okay.
I got plenty good ones left in me.
All right.
Plenty coherent ones.
All right, man. All right.